Did you know that during the month of July, you can receive 6 Archbooks for children on the best love parables of Jesus for less than $10? Find out more about this 6-book series, The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, for children ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
You often hear people talk about Jesus' teaching. Well, they said he talked about money a lot. Well, it's true, but very often it's in the course of a parable where he may not be talking about money. Now, Jesus was a carpenter or a day laborer. He was trained probably as his father was in good building techniques. When he tells the parable of the house built on the sand or the house built on the rock, respectively, and he tells these parables in Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 6, is he just giving us construction advice? Or does he have something other than that to say? What does the rock mean? What is the sand, and what does it mean to build your house on one or the other? What is Jesus talking about in this parable of the house built upon the rock? Joining us for the remainder of this Monday afternoon's Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Now, you have done a lot of study and a lot of speaking on the parables of Jesus. What in this parable of built on the rock do we often fail to notice that we should notice?
You said it near the beginning. I often say what a parable is talking about is really not what a parable is talking about. So if it's talking about money, it's really not talking about money. If it's talking about fishing, it's not about fishing. If it's talking about sowing, it's not sowing. And if it's talking about building, it's really not talking about building. In fact, and I have to really compliment the Concordia Publishing House Growing in Christ series here. They really did some fine thinking here, because they say it appears, when you read the parable, as if safety in this world is determined by our own actions. If you do what Jesus says, you'll be safe, even when things get really bad. And if you don't, your house will be destroyed by the floods and winds of life. And then they go ahead and show how the text doesn't say that at all, really. But I'll tell you why people get that impression. It's because they compare themselves to a builder who makes a decision to build his house either on a rock or on sand. And therefore, they jump to the conclusion that that's what the parable must be talking about. I need to make a decision as to whether or not to build my house on rock or sand. The other thing, and we'll get to this, of course, every kingdom parable, because some parables are not kingdom parables, they're just about, you know, how you should do good ethics. Like when you go to a feast, don't take the highest seat, take the lowest, lest you're called to go to the lowest. But kingdom parables are how things work in the kingdom of heaven, which is one other point, is that often you'll hear that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I cannot disagree with that more. A parable is an earthly story with an earthly meaning. Because if you walk down the street, Todd, and ask anybody, describe heaven, they will always describe the heaven that is to come after Judgment Day. And that's not what these parables are talking about. They're talking about the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the Holy Christian Church. So every kingdom parable is really describing, by means of an extended metaphor, how God is working within his church.
So he tells this parable, it's kind of two versions of the same parable, one in Matthew chapter 7, the other in Luke chapter 6. There's some differences there between the circumstances of the parable that he's talking about, but they both seem to kind of generally go in the same direction. There are two different ways of building a house. One is on a rock, and the other is on sand. What is Jesus talking about then?
Well, first of all, why the difference between Matthew and Luke? I'll just give you one example. Matthew talks about those who build on the rock as wise, whereas those who build on sand as foolish. You really need to be an Old Testament reader to understand those two words properly. And Matthew is writing to Jews, whereas Luke says he's writing to Theophilus. That sounds like a Greek individual. And the text of Luke often explains Hebrew notions and Old Testament notions. So that's why Luke probably doesn't use wise man and foolish, as does Matthew. But you are correct that both are talking about the same kind of thing. The point of comparison is not the one who chooses to build one thing versus another. That's not the point of comparison. The point of comparison is what happens when a strong wind or storm comes while the one house is destroyed and the other is not. And so we're really talking not about the person so much who builds. That's not the common analogy, but the foundation. Is your house built on the foundation of sand, or is it built on the foundation of the rock? And that's the point that Jesus is moving towards.
So is he talking about, because some people are going to say, oh, I know what this means. This means a good solid foundation means my life. I have to have a solid foundation in my life. I have to have my head on straight. I have to make wise decisions, kind of coming back to what you were talking about before. I have to have a good moral foundation. And I've heard people talk about this parable in that sense, a good moral foundation for building the rest of your life. What do you make of that?
Well, what I make of it is they haven't used Scripture interpret Scripture. What we're talking about, a lot of times people will say, I have a good foundation because I'm a good person, and they will point to their works. Now, I'm not sure why the Sunday school lesson didn't include the previous verses, but I really think they need to, at least the Sunday school teacher does, and I'm talking about Matthew 7, 15 to 23. And Jesus is warning about false prophets. Well, how can you tell them? Well, you will recognize them by their fruits. And then he says, every healthy tree bears good fruit. The diseased tree bears bad fruit. And verse 23, I think, is absolutely critical for understanding our text that begins with verse 24. And then I will declare to them, and those are the unbelievers, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of, now here comes a very important word, lawlessness. Now, most people, and this is why English translations are so poor in getting across the proper nuance, most people will just think that lawlessness means that you're going against the laws of God. And therefore, those who build on the rock are those who are following the laws of God. And of course, even the Pharisees, the unbelieving ones, thought they were following the laws of God. So that's a pretty easy way to get assurance of your salvation. But the word lawlessness does not just mean going against the law. It means having no law but yourself. In other words, it's the breaking of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And therefore, when you go to the two builders, the wise builder is the one who does have a law, a foundation, namely Jesus Christ, which his house has been built upon. The foolish one, he's just has no God, and therefore it's like building a house on sand, which, by the way, to the hearers would be ridiculous. Many of the parables of Jesus are quite ridiculous. Like, well, what shepherd ever picks up a 100-pound sheep and carries it through the wilderness? It just doesn't happen. So that's another thing you see in parables, the ridiculous notion that even the earthly comparison often doesn't make sense. But that's because what's happening in the kingdom of heaven doesn't make sense.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I mean, it strikes me that you could try and build a house on sand. I don't think you'd succeed in any way whatsoever. It wouldn't stand, much less hold up against the wind and the waves and the rising floods, as Jesus describes it in this parable. Maybe one of the things we should notice is such a building can't be built in the first place. And what did he mean when he said that things in the kingdom of heaven don't make sense? We'll find out right after this. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org.
One of the most surprising discoveries I have found in church history that Christians usually did not realize or recognize the effects their actions had when they heeded Christ's words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their actions were byproducts of God's redeeming love that was theirs in the crucified and risen life of Jesus Christ. In time, many Christian values and practices became integrated parts of Western culture. And the Christian didn't really quite realize it, as we don't to this day.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's presentation, Making the Case for Christianity's Positive Impact on Civilization, on our new audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience. Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We teach these Sunday school lessons every week with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. There is a great Sunday school curriculum that reflects much of what you will hear during these weekly episodes with Pastor Baker. It's called Growing in Christ. It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and it is we're just touching upon the high points here in order to prepare Sunday school teachers every week. Go in depth with this curriculum, Growing in Christ, and you will see that lesson by lesson, it focuses entirely upon Jesus in His saving work, regardless of where in the Bible that might be. Find out more about Growing in Christ, this Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, I'm reflecting on this, and you say, you know, you kind of look for the thing that doesn't make sense. It makes no sense to even attempt to build a house, regardless how big that house is going to be, on sand. No one would even attempt it because you would not be able to complete such a building. It would be falling down before you ever finished it. Is that part of the point that Jesus is making here?
I think part of the point would mean that when people attempt to build on sand, they don't think they're building on sand. They think they're building on rock. There is certain sand that is so hard, but as soon as water hits it, it starts disintegrating. And all of a sudden, you've got something that won't hold anything. When my kids were young, we decided to build a little room for them downstairs. Now, I'm not a carpenter. I had no idea what I was doing. So I simply banged up some 2x4s onto the ceiling and then put some 2x4s on the ground to kind of hold them together. And then I put some various plywood on it. And, boy, we had another room. which lasted about 7 days. And the kids knocked it down. I had no idea. I thought I was building something really good. Unbelievers are unbelievers because they think they have a God or whatever they believe in that is strong as a rock, and they don't realize that it's sand. I think that's the point. That's why they're foolish, and that's why when people are hearing this, they say, well, this is ridiculous. Nobody builds on sand. Yes, they do, if they don't think it's sand, or if they think it's a sand that is so strong that maybe mixed with something would be strong. But, well, what building still exists from the time of Jesus that isn't crumbling apart? There is none at all. So that's what I think Jesus' point is. They're foolish because while it makes sense not to build on sand, they don't think it's sand. They think it's the rock that they've invented.
Now, you said something before the break that how things work in the kingdom of heaven, the reason things in parables don't often make sense is because the way things work in the kingdom of heaven doesn't often make sense. What did you mean by that, and how does that apply here to this parable?
Many of the parables say things that when you first hear them, first of all, yeah, who would even go want to find a lost sheep who probably is sick or maybe near death or is weak or whatever? Maybe that's not even worth in the flock. But this shepherd goes out, not only finds the lost sheep, but doesn't coax it back. He actually carries him back for the joy that he is having. And when you take a look at that word joy, you find it in the book of Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame and went the way of the cross. Well, what enemy did you have would ever die for you? Christianity is totally contrary to our normal ways of experiencing reality, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to come in and give us a whole new perspective on reality. In fact, this parable not only needs the statement before it about the good tree and bad tree, but I find it very similar to the parable of the weeds. Remember, the Son of Man is the one who sows the good seed. The devil sows the weeds. But because they look so similar, you can't tell a Christian who is a sinner from an unbeliever who is a sinner, if you're just looking at their works, that the Son of Man says to the angels, wait till the harvest, and then you will be able to tell the difference. And, of course, the weed that's used in this parable is a weed that just looks like wheat until the harvest time when it has no fruit. And so it's a beautiful picture. But once more, look how ridiculous this is. The wheat also are sinners, not just the weeds. But they have been forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ because they are building their hopes on a rock, not on sand. And so this is what I would say about this parable that's so unusual. Is this house that you're living in, you didn't build. The wise man built it, namely Jesus himself, and he is the foundation of that holy Christian church. The reason you're going to heaven is because you're living in a house whose foundation is none other than Jesus Christ, whereas those who go to hell are those who are living in a house built by Satan, and of course it will be destroyed on the day of judgment.
So let's talk about Christ as the rock, the foundation. How is Christ foundation? I mean, people might say, coming back to something I asked you earlier, well, he's a great foundation, he's a good moral example. Live like Jesus, build on that foundation.
Yes, first of all, this rock analogy is found even in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17, where the people are complaining, we don't have any water. And God says to Moses, behold, I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it. The Apostle Paul goes so far in 1 Corinthians 10, guess what he says that rock is? For they drank from the same spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, we're not talking about the real rock, just like the burning bush. God was in with and under that burning bush. So also Jesus was in with and under that rock. He was the spiritual rock that followed them. But there's another point that is really interesting here. It's very confusing to a lot of Lutherans because in Matthew 16, it sounds like Peter, whose name means rock, that on him the church will be built. And so therefore, Roman Catholics think Peter was the first pope. But if you look at Matthew 16, verse 18, here's what Jesus says. And I tell you, you are Peter. Now that's his name, and it's Petros, and it's a masculine singular. Then Jesus goes on, and on this rock I will build my church. And guess what? It's not a masculine singular. It's a feminine singular, referring not to Peter, because it would have to be in the masculine, but to his confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And guess what? In our parable, is the word rock masculine singular or feminine singular? It's feminine singular, which is the very same Greek word that Jesus is building his church on this rock. And therefore, Jesus is building the church on the Word himself. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And so every Sunday school teacher has the beautiful opportunity to share with their Sunday school children that Jesus is the foundation, Jesus is the rock, and upon him they are built into the church.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be broadcasting from the Institute on Worship, Preaching, and Church Music Conference at Concordia University, Nebraska. We'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about preaching, something he knows a little something about. And we'll also discuss the purpose of the historic liturgy with none other than Dr. John Kleinig. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc., broadcasting from the Institute on Worship, Preaching, and Church Music, their conference at Concordia University, Nebraska. Christ alone is the rock. He is the rock. He's not one among many rocks. And I think Tom is absolutely right. The wise man who builds this house, the only one who can build this house, is Jesus himself. He is foundation. He is builder. He's architect. He's finisher. He is the house, too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.